The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
By the way, Rod, you know what I'm really happy about before I even get to this whole LeBron Kyrie stuff?
No, talk to me.
Yankees advance. The Yankees advance. The longest nine-inning game played. Major League history goes back now, what, over 130 years? The longest nine-inning game ever played? Kept me up till the wee hours of the morning.
Oh, was well, I good. I like when you're a baseball fan. That's good. It takes you back to your childhood and all that good stuff. And watching with your grandpops, I forgot what you called that.
Zeta is grandfather in Yiddish. No, but I got him into the Yankees because he tried to get me into soccer, and I was like, Zeta, I can't watch this. This is too boring.
Smart man.
And I would flip over to the Yankees. So he watched them from the time that they weren't good in the early 90s to the time that they were great in the, you know, the greatest dynasty ever, history of team sports.
If your grandfather were with us today, he'd be watching Chelsea versus Crystal Palace at 4:30 a.m. Pacific time on Saturday. Go ahead.
Chelsea's playing Soho? Get out of here.
Man, do the thing.
I didn't know they even did that. What, are they going to play the West Village next? Who are they playing? The Upper West Side? Then they're going to start taking on neighborhoods from L.A. Chelsea versus Inglewood.
Doesn't work that way. Come on, man.
Chelsea versus Studio City.
In a friendly.
I don't know soccer. Speak English. Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. So, Kyrie Irving, let me say that in English myself. Kyrie Irving goes on KD's podcast. What's it called? Etc. I don't know. Is that what's called, just Etc.? And he tells, answering the question, like, who takes the last shot, right? Who take the big shot with 10 seconds left? Kyrie says they have the luxury of having either guy take it. Depends on who's hot, Kyrie explained. I don't see it as anything other than that. One thing I've always been comfortable with is I felt like I was the best option on every team I've played for down the stretch. This is the first time in my career where I can be like that. Bleep bleeper can make that shot too. Okay, well, Kyrie, every team you ever played on includes LeBron James. And you were the best option down the stretch. You were the closer, huh? Except that Kirk Goldsberry of Sprawball and ESPN fame. This is Sprawball. Pick this up here. Put this camera. See this? It's great. It's got pictures. It tells you everything. Got good illustrations of got Charles Barkley yelling about analytics, Steph Curry shooting. And I know this looks complicated. Sorry, this part looks complicated. No, he's really good at breaking things down graphically in ways you can understand. This area, the refs allow you to play defense tougher than in this area. So it's harder to score from the block than it is from the corner three. And the corner three is worth more. And that's why this revolutionized it. You know, like, he breaks it all down. Sprawball, I suggest you pick it up. Anyway, it's a good gift, by the way. Look at this commercial I'm doing for Kirk Goldsberry. It's a good gift for someone, the sports fan in your life. You know why, Raj? Because some of these guys at ESPN, I just call them on the phone all hours. I'm like, hey, listen, this is what I'm thinking. Can you tell me this? And they do it for me. I gotta pay that back somehow.
That's love. That's showing love. I like that.
So Kirk Goldsberry has it. Like, it just so happens, Kyrie, we can measure this. We can see if you're right, that you should have been, you were the best option to take the last shot on a team with LeBron. Because you and LeBron played three seasons together in Cleveland. And over those three seasons, you took 210 shots late and close, meaning 5 minutes or fewer left in the game, the score within five. You took 210 shots. LeBron took 305. So LeBron took almost 100 more than you did. But that's a lot of shots, a big sample size to go on. Your field goal percentage was 37%. LeBron's was 42%. 5% more. But it's not 5% better than you. It's 5 percentage points better than you in terms of a shooting percentage. As a percentage of how much better he was than you, in fact, that's over 10% better than you. Don't worry about the math, everybody. LeBron was better than 10% better than Kyrie Irving when the game was within 5 minutes and the score within 5 points. That's late and close. That's the clutch. That's crunch time. That's who closes, so to speak. LeBron 10% better than Kyrie in a huge sample size. That includes regular season and postseason. Well, okay. How about from three, though? Because that field goal percentage doesn't necessarily mean the way you shoot. If you're 6'8" like LeBron, can get in the lane and all that, you're finishing at the rim. Surely, Kyrie, a better pure shooter than LeBron, shoots better under those circumstances than LeBron James, right? From three, which is an actual shot, not just getting a shot up when you're at the rim. Actually, no. Kyrie shoots 27% from three under those circumstances. LeBron, 37% from three. LeBron's actually a good three-point shooter under 5 minutes to go. Score within five, playoffs and regular season. Kyrie, not very good. 27%, not cutting it. Is that Kyrie choking under those circumstances? Well, look at the percentages. Again, as a percentage of how much better LeBron is than Kyrie. I know it looks like 10 percentage points. That's just the 3-point percentage. In terms of how much better is a percentage, LeBron is more than 25% better than Kyrie shooting the three as a closer. Huge sample size, three seasons worth, and they're on the same team. Okay, so Kyrie's just wrong. On the facts, he's wrong. His opinion can be what it is, but it's based on his own need to be the guy. He wasn't the guy. LeBron was. Later in the day, Kyrie made those comments, I think in the morning yesterday. Later in that day, in the afternoon, LeBron was asked about what makes LeBron James, like LeBron himself, and Anthony Davis such a good combination. And this is what he had to say.
I don't speak for other guys and what they, I don't know, I just speak for myself. For AD, I know who we are. We respect one another. We drive one another. We command excellence out of one another. And that's what it boils down to. You know, jealousy and envy has killed a lot of great things, not only in sports, but in general. So if you're able to just throw that to the side, you know, and throw your egos to the side, but continue to bring that confidence of what y'all trying to do with keeping the main thing the main thing. Not saying it's... is that easy, but for us, it's that easy when it comes to our relationship. Like I said, it doesn't result in wins every night. It doesn't result in, me putting up numbers and him putting up numbers every night. But as far as our brotherhood and our chemistry, that's what it boils down to.
As J. Rue the Damager once said years ago, Raj, hatred, jealousy, and envy. They attack me. Uh-oh. The green eye. Kyrie Irving. Doesn't sound good. And everything Kyrie says is ego protection, right? Steve Nash, it's like, you know, telling KD, it's like, well, we don't even have a head coach. Like, sometimes he could be head coach. Sometimes I could be head coach. You could be head coach, KD. It's like we just coexist. Kyrie, what is it, coexist? You're not the head coach. There is a boss of you, right? Like, that's really what it is. It's like listening to a little kid. You're not the boss of me, LeBron. I should be taking the last shot. No, actually, yeah, it's his team, Kyrie. Steve Nash, not the boss of me. Well, yeah, actually, he's the coach, Kyrie. And you're the second best player on the team. Probably. Like, if KD is most of his normal self, he's better than you. Maybe if KD's really, really hurt by the injury and he's not the same player physically, maybe then Kyrie is the best player on the team. But he's more than likely the second best player on the team. And his head coach is the coach and he's not. Everything's is ego protection. And Kyrie even talks about why do you have to make, he wants to tell the media how to cover stories and why can't he just live? And why is he just a basketball player? Kyrie, the only reason people are interested in you is because you're great at basketball and you ought to be even better than you are. You've not been able to lead a team, but your skills and talent are, you know, no one's questioning that, among the all-time best. But that's why we're interested. Because you play basketball. And that's, why, by the way, how you make money, too. This is Kyrie's response to those who suggest that, in fact, he was talking about LeBron James when he was throwing shade at LeBron, when he was talking about, for the first time now, he has KD with him. Hey, if he doesn't take the last shot and KD does, big deal. Even if KD misses it, he can live with it. That implies that he couldn't live with it when LeBron did it. I mean, he had lots of teammates throughout his career. That's true. Is he talking about Jason Tatum? Kevin Love? Who's he talking about? It doesn't matter because he's also talking about LeBron necessarily, because LeBron was a teammate of his. Here's Kyrie's response to people saying he was throwing shade at LeBron.
Why must it always be brother against brother? Why? If I'm addressing anyone, I'll say their name. Come on, y'all. Don't listen to the false narratives. Let people live their lives.
What does that have to do with anything? We need, like, crazy talk with Kyrie Irving. False narratives. Also, like, people love throwing around the word narratives nowadays. What's the false narrative there, Kyrie, that you were singling out LeBron? I'm not saying you're singling him out, but certainly he falls under the category of teammates you've had who you weren't happy taking the last shot, right? This is, you said that the first time that I've had a guy on my team who I felt should take the last shot along with me. So since you've already played with LeBron and this is the first time, that applies to LeBron, what you just said. Well, yeah, but I wasn't talking about just LeBron, right? But what do you think people are going to say? Like, no one cares if you think that Jaylen Brown shouldn't take the last shot, that you should. Tristan Thompson, like, who are you talking about? People are going to talk about LeBron, who was way better late and close in the regular season and the playoffs than you. Way better. Not to mention a far better basketball player. Now look, Kyrie's inability to lead. Cleveland didn't do anything till LeBron got there. Then they were awesome. Then when LeBron left, Cleveland was no good. Kyrie went to Boston. Boston underachieved with him. They were better without him. Then Kyrie goes to Brooklyn. Yep, he gets hurt and all that, and KD's hurt, but they weren't a playoff powerhouse. And by the way, they made the playoffs without Kyrie. Anyway, it's hard to lead an NBA team to a championship. Really hard. It doesn't just take a one-in-a-million talent. It takes a one-in-a-million kind of personality to go with the talent. Like, I think about myself when I was Kyrie's age, in my 20s. Could I have, even if I had the talent to play at an MVP level in the NBA, could I have led a team to a championship given my personality? I was immature in my 20s. I might be immature for a 47-year-old. I don't know, but definitely for 20-something. I don't know what my emotional age was, but it wasn't my actual age. And so like, I'm not claiming I could have done something, even were I blessed with the talent and put in the work that Kyrie did. Like, if I was the exact same player, or Raj, if you were, or someone else was, it's very unlikely that any of us could lead a team, could have the maturity. Because think about this. When you're at that level, since you're a little kid, everyone's treating you different. You're amazing. They're doing stuff for you. You're the best player on any court you walk onto. You have to have the ego to believe you're the best player, right? You're a multimillionaire at a young age. Hundreds of tens and hundreds of millions. Everyone cares about the things you say. How does that not warp your sense of self? How do you stay self-aware enough to relate to other people in a way that allows you the humility to be a great leader? LeBron is extraordinary in this respect. Magic Johnson was extraordinary in that respect. It's an unusual personality type that can do it. That's not Kyrie. Kyrie's ego is so fragile, it seems to me, so wrapped up in people thinking he's smart. If he is smart, he's not giving anyone evidence through the things he says. And it may not even be that he's not smart. Although, kind of like the simplest test, if you want to find out if someone's not smart, say, is the earth round? And if they say, well, I don't know, believe me, they're not smart. So, but even if he is somehow, it's so important to him that people believe that about him that he undermines his own case. He wants to lead, it seems to me, so bad that he's unable to do it somehow because his ego is too wrapped up in it. Larry and Callie, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Welcome home, Max.
Thank you, sir.
Your voice was missed here in Southern California.
Yes, clearly.
And I have to say that this NBA Finals is climatic for one two or three weeks.
Do you mean anticlimactic?
Anticlimactic.
Yes, okay, anticlimactic. There it is. Yes.
Because the fans would have loved to have seen the Lakers play the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. And then, if that didn't happen, at least play traditional Boston for a chance to tie the Celtics for the all-time victory total of 17.
Championships.
You know, this is more like the Lakers playing the New Jersey Nets in 2000.
Well, I mean, look, if Bam and Goran Dragic were healthy, and then maybe, like, just imagine, those two guys were healthy in the Heat win game two somehow. Even if they wind up losing in five, at least going into game three, you're like, hey, it's a 1-1 series. And even if the Heat lose that game, it's a must-win for the Heat the next game. Like, we have the drama, but the fact, and also the Pat Riley story angle and all that stuff, there would be drama. Unfortunately, not only are the Heat overmatched, they're down two of their best players. I mean, it's a wrap. I agree. Listen, has it been anticlimactic? It absolutely has. Ted in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Appreciate you allowing me to come up here and talk about this. The thing I think most about Kyrie Irving, he was definitely jealous of LeBron James. Mm-hmm. I think that comment that he made was sheeted out of that because he wanted to be seen as the alpha and main guy, but LeBron James was clearly, you know, the one that caused him to win the championship.
Well, here's the thing, Ted. Kobe wanted that with Shaq, too, you know? He wanted it with Shaq, and he didn't get it the first time around. So they won three championships, but Kobe hadn't demonstrated that he could be the alpha on a championship dynasty. But then, later, he got Powell, and he proved that he could. They went to three straight finals and won two, because Powell's not Shaq, right? I mean, otherwise, they win three out of three. So Kobe proved it at a certain point. Kyrie's been given the opportunity to prove it. He was on a talented Boston team. The Boston team did better when he wasn't there. They did better before he got there than when he was there. They had more playoff success. And when he left, they also did better. So it's not about the development of the other players around him. It's about him. He had a deleterious effect on the chemistry. Now he's in Brooklyn. He's got KD. Can he do what Kobe did? Can he be at least one of the leaders, one of the two guys who's truly the leader on a championship team? Or will he have, once again, a deleterious effect on the chemistry of the team? He has to stop worrying about how people will perceive him, about people thinking that he's smart or that he is a leader. He has to forget about all that. And I'm sure he feels like there's all this kind of injustice and that if only he could articulate clearly, and answer each kind of comment, people would see that he's right. First of all, no, I don't find him articulate, to tell you the truth. I don't find he articulates his position well. I mean, if he does, then I don't think his thoughts are very strong. So I'm just going to assume that he doesn't articulate his position well. Secondly, he can't worry about that right now. He has to be thinking at all times, how do I help lead this group of guys to the promised land? Not about, hey, we don't really have a head coach. I'm thinking philosophically about how we can all coexist. Some days I'll be the head coach. Kyrie, everyone sees through that. That's paper thin. It's your ego going into ego protection. Steve Nash, not the boss of me. You have a head coach, Kyrie. And what you can do is be one of the actual leaders on the team that leads your team to a championship. Not simply kind of used as a great offensive tool by the actual genius orchestrator and leader, LeBron James. But actually, you can be one of the leaders, but not if this persists. The things you think you're justified in terms of your point of view and feelings about it, still, Kyrie is still young. When I was his age, I get it. Think about back in your 20s, how aggrieved you felt at work or wherever else in a relationship where you might look back now and go, yeah, I was young and stupid. It's very rare for someone to be like LeBron. That's why, like, when LeBron steps in it, occasionally everyone does or does something that I think, oh, that's not, I think to myself, you got to cut LeBron some slack. He's been called the chosen one since he was like a baby, and still he manages to have a sense of self, to figure out how to lead. A very rare gift.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I'm big on kind of clutch moments for athletes. When you're talking about the greatest of all time, right? Who could at least stay themselves under pressure? Derek Jeter, Kobe Bryant. Who could get even better under pressure? Curt Schilling or Fernando Valenzuela, right? Robert Horry, you could argue. Who was already the best who ever did it and then got even better under pressure? How can the best get better than the best ever? Michael Jordan, Mariano Rivera. It's like the highest level of clutch. Doesn't mean they're perfect. Mariano Rivera blew the series against the Red Sox in 04. He was on the mound in 01 when he threw the ball into center field instead of, it was a double play ball to Derek Jeter, would have ended the Arizona season. And then he gave up a broken bat, little flare just over the Derek Jeter's head because Joe Torre pulled in the infield. He wasn't infallible, but Mariano Rivera has the lowest ERA in the history of baseball, lowest adjusted ERA in the history of baseball for all pitchers who pitched over 1,000 innings. And in the playoffs, where he threw over 140 innings, it was like two full reliever seasons. By the way, and he was a guy who sometimes did pitch more than an inning. Well, in the old days, we had to pitch. Rivera would do that. Rivera's ERA, 0.7. So it's three times better in the playoffs than it was in the regular season, and that was the best ever. He actually got way better under pressure, and the standard he set was already the best who ever lived. Michael Jordan did the same thing. But there's the opposite of that scale. Maybe you're the best who ever did it, and you suck under pressure, right? Like, you might still be okay because you're falling from such heights, but you're clearly not the same. Peyton Manning, for a while, was that way. Well, he didn't have a defense, really. Is that why he was shut out against the Jets? What does that have to do with his defense? Peyton Manning, the greatest regular season player, I think, in the history of football. I think that's fair to say. No one in the regular season was better than Peyton Manning, ever. In the playoffs, he won good for a while. For years, he really was bad. He was a choker. And eventually, given enough reps, if you're as great as Peyton Manning, you're going to come through. James Harden. One of the best offensive players ever, according to many. And his defense has improved too. Under pressure, he's gotten better and better, but still not his normal self. Not even his normal self, let alone elevating when it matters most. I'm not making this up. This is not like a lot of people will, for years, would give Kobe or Jeter extra credit. Oh, they elevate under pressure. Nah, they just stay the same. Jeter explained why the other day. He said, you know, what about this young team getting into the playoffs for the first time? How do you expect them to react? He said, look, the approach we take is from the first pitch of spring training. You're going about your business with the utmost intensity. When you get to the playoffs, it's just the same thing. Explains a lot about Jeter. But there are players who can't do that, or it takes them a long time to finally get used to it enough to do it. Clayton Kershaw is notorious at this point for that. Regular season, I'm going to read it. Clayton Kershaw is 175-76 wins and losses. And I know people don't care about wins and losses so much anymore. His ERA, by the way, in 2,300-plus innings in the regular season is now 2.43. It's one of the lowest of all time. Clayton Kershaw had a four-year prime. Between the ages of 23 and 26, age 23, 24, 25, 26, where he led the league in wins twice, in ERA all 4 years, in strikeouts two of those years, in WHIP, walks and hits to innings pitched, all four seasons. That's Sandy Koufax stuff. Like, I once asked Tommy Lasorda on LA radio about how Kershaw, you know, he's kind of doing a Koufax, and Lasorda, you know, wouldn't hear it, and how dare you compare, you know, Kershaw to Koufax, Tommy. I did it because it was an apt comparison. In fact, Koufax threw 100 more innings per year than Kershaw. That's the era in which he existed. And I'm not saying Kershaw could have done that because, you know, people mistake evolution, survival of the fittest. It's survival of the best adapted. It's tautological, really. The parents who are able to pass on their genes to have offspring who survive are the ones best adapted to do that. That's why they did it, right? The reasoning is circular, but it works. It's true. It's logically consistent. It's not that it's survival of the fittest. It's survival of the best adapted. So let me translate this now to baseball in this case. The players who succeed in a given era are the players best adapted to succeed in that era. In Koufax's era, you better be able to take the ball every 4 days and throw complete games. That's not for everyone. A slightly built pitcher, for example, might have electric stuff, but maybe Pedro Martinez wouldn't have been amazing in that era. But by Pedro Martinez's era, just throw 6 innings and don't give up any runs in those 6. Like Pedro Martinez, inning for inning, was the best who ever lived as a starting pitcher, but didn't throw, you know, probably wouldn't have succeeded in an era where he had to throw 300 plus innings, but he didn't pitch in that era. I don't know if Kershaw would have been able to throw 300 plus innings like Koufax did. I know in his era, he did the Koufax just about. But here's the difference. Two Dodgers greats, left-handers, Sandy Koufax, Clayton Kershaw. Koufax, under pressure in the playoffs, I want to say there were no playoffs. It was right to the World Series back then in the 60s. But Koufax's World Series ERA, I believe, I'm doing this off the top of my head, I think it was 47 innings he pitched in the World Series. He had a 0.95 ERA. 0.95. The greatest ever got even better. Kershaw, a 2.43 regular season ERA in over 2,000 innings pitched, a 175-76 record for a 6.97 winning percentage. What does he do in the playoffs? He's 10-11 for a 4.76 winning percentage with a 4.22 ERA. It's almost twice what it is in the regular season. He's choked consistently. And Kershaw, whose regular season resume, I say at his best, he's better than Steve Carlton. He's his prime in terms of the effectiveness year over year is at least Randy Johnson. I'm talking about the greatest lefties who ever lived. But because of how he pitched in the playoffs, you can't call him the greatest of all time, which is why last night when he did, what, he strike out 13 in the end? Guys swinging and missing, winning. Understand, the reason the Dodgers haven't won a World Series since 1988 is because Clayton Kershaw has choked under pressure. If Kershaw can be relied upon, not to have a good start or two, but just stay himself, not to elevate, just stay Clayton Kershaw throughout this postseason, the Dodgers will win the World Series. That's what's been missing. Fernando Valenzuela was an excellent all-star regular season pitcher. He was an all-time great in the playoffs. All-time great. Same thing with Hershiser, by the way. Kershaw's better than both those guys when it matters least. When it matters most, he hasn't been nearly as good. If he can do this, if he's finally given enough reps, gotten comfortable enough, and relaxed enough, and experienced enough just to stay himself, that's the missing piece to the puzzle, and the Dodgers win the World Series. Dodgers fans got to be very happy about his performance because it suggests maybe that he can.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I'm going to take calls. That's going to be the last take. You get the last take. Don't tell me, hey, what's up, da-da-da-da, nothing. Just give me your take. Okay, everyone got it? And Raj, if they start saying what's up, just click them off the line. They can tell me I'm great, I stink, this, that, but no what's up in the pleasantries. We got too much to do here.
So just real quick, you're doing fine. You're okay.
I'm doing fine. Yeah, I'm great. No reason to ask me that.
That's all
right.
I want to know. All right, let's go.
Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go.
Max, before I get to my main point, Koufax pitched six World Series games. Yep. Six. Yep. He got bombed in two of them. One against the Twins and one against the Orioles. He pitched great against the Yankees, 63 both games. He pitched one good game, great game with Minnesota, game seven.
Jim Palmer beat him one time. I know. Look,
killed him.
The point is that Koufax had a 0.95 ERA in over 40 World Series innings. I think close to 50 World Series innings. 0.95 ERA. So you add it all up and you divide it, and that's what you get. 0.95, less than a run a game, less than a run per nine in the World Series. Clayton Kershaw has an ERA over 4, but an ERA under 2 in the playoffs, but an ERA under 2.5 in the regular season. Steven in California. Wait. Does he have something else to say? He wanted to make a main point. Go ahead, Richard. Oh, he's gone already? Steven in California. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Max? I just wanted to call about the LeBron and the Kyrie incident. I thought it was weird, or I thought the timing was bad on Kyrie's end. You got LeBron. He's about to play in the finals. I thought the timing of it was weird. I know that we talk about Kyrie kind
of
being...
I'm sorry. Listen, Steven. First of all, I said don't say what's up. And then you said what's up. But then you started getting to your point kind of, but I still don't know. Your point is this. Let me just tell everyone how that call should have gone. Steven gets on. Steven in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Then he says, my problem is the timing is weird. Or I think the timing was weird. We're in the middle of the finals. LeBron's still playing and Kyrie brings it up. Like, that's how you do it. Charles in Iowa, go.
I think Kyrie just don't like LeBron. You know, from the time he's been in Cleveland, he forced his way out, and now he's here, goddammit, talking about he's better, he's more clutch than LeBron. When has Kevin Durant ever been clutch? He got a 4-1 gentleman sweep by LeBron in the playoffs. He went to Golden State, and he was on a super team. When has he ever been called to be clutch?
I agree. Kevin Durant has not yet shown that he can win a championship when the odds aren't overwhelmingly on his side. When they are, he played great. He played great. Better than LeBron? I don't think so. But he played great, but his team had virtually no chance to lose. They were the much better team, right? I agree. I think that's what KD can prove in Brooklyn. KD can prove, even if he's no longer the goodest of his career, he can prove that he can have his greatest accomplishment. Like Muhammad Ali was the goodest heavyweight who ever lived before he went into exile because the U.S. government took away his passport and he couldn't get a license to fight because he resisted the draft, Vietnam, refused induction. When he came back, he was not quite the same fighter. He was not the goodest he'd ever been. But because of that, he was able to show that he was, in fact, the greatest. He overcame the odds. KD can show now that he can take a team that's not, oh my God, overwhelmingly, look on paper, that's the best team in the league. It's just one of the best teams. And if he can win a championship with this team now, coming off that injury, that will be his greatest accomplishment. He will have proved his greatness in a way he has not yet. And given his goodness, right, how great he was at his goodest, the level he was playing at, when you combine that, he will elevate himself into the discussion of who is the greatest player ever after Michael Jordan. Is it LeBron? Is it Kareem? Is it KD? If he wins a championship with Brooklyn, he puts himself into that kind of rarefied air. Trevor in San Francisco, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
I don't like that the media always pins the players against each other. Kyrie says what he says, and then people immediately bring LeBron into it. You know, you don't have to diminish one player in order to praise another.
But that's KD what Kyrie was doing in a way. Trevor, that's what Kyrie
KD
is doing.
KD is simply another great scorer.
Hold on. Trevor, think of what Kyrie said. He said, now for the first time with KD, with you, KD, I can say that guy's just as good at me as at the end of games. But he played with LeBron, so if he's saying it's the first time, that's shade at LeBron, is it not?
He's really saying that when it comes to clutch time, like Stephen A. says, give me the ball, it's my time, KD is on that level.
Okay, LeBron, but LeBron is better than but LeBron is better than Kyrie at that. They played on the same team. LeBron shot better from the field, shot better from three, way better, was way better within 5 minutes. And 5 points at the end of games, regular and postseason, 3 seasons with the Cavs. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.